Much of history, being born out of wedlock, has been a serious impediment to success. According to one historian, illegitimate offspring are subject to neglect, abandonment, disinheritance, and social exclusion. Suffice it to say, informing someone that they are not a true child of whomever is a very serious accusation. Made worse if you proceed to tell them that their actual father is the devil. That they are not, in fact, heaven bound. Unless you're confronting a serial killer like Jack the Ripper, or a serial rapist like Ted Bundy, such language seems unnecessarily harsh and divisive. Would you be shocked then if I told you that Jesus communicates this very message while courageously confronting his uber-religious yet still unbelieving hearers in John chapter 8. You're not a child of God. You're not even a legitimate offspring of Abraham. Your real father is Satan. To say that to pretty much anyone, especially those who are very committed, thinking that they were following the letter of the law, God's law, would be highly offensive. And yet, this is exactly the message that Jesus shares in this morning's scripture passage in John chapter 8. If you're not there, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 8. This morning we will hopefully consider verses 37 through 47. Many people would say that the Jesus that I know and love would never say such a thing to Jews. The Jesus that I know and love would never say such things to those who are uber religious. Dear friend, the more biblically illiterate our culture becomes, the more likely people will embrace a false caricature of Jesus. Most unbelievers and many professing Christians view Jesus as a mild-mannered teacher, somebody who walked the streets of Jericho with clean clothes, healing the sick, offering people an opportunity to enjoy their best life now. Now, it's true, Jesus is described in the Gospels as being gentle and lowly. Matthew's Gospel records that Jesus was gentle and lowly in heart, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He became known as the friend of sinners because of his willingness to evangelize and associate with the down and outs of society. Jesus, of course, reaches out to the adulterous Samaritan in John chapter 4, and we saw another example of the heart of God through his only begotten son, Jesus, the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. We say the Jesus that people are most familiar with fits that portrait. One who has his arms opened to even the greatest of sinners. And all of that is true. That is part of who Jesus truly is. But there's another side of the true Christ that we must also embrace by faith as we seek to accept Jesus for who he is and not who we want him to be. For one cannot improve upon one who is without fault or blemish. It's important for us to acknowledge the reality that in all four Gospels, Jesus confronts his audience, those who had heard the truth preached and who refused to humble their hearts and repent and believe. We have in all four Gospels polarizing confrontations. Jesus often using his strongest words to attack those who are caught up in false religion, those who thought that by their own effort they could obtain favor with God. We see this in Matthew chapter 23 when Jesus confronts the leaders of Pharisaic Judaism. We see this when Jesus goes into the temple and cleanses the temple, such as is recorded in John 2:12 and following, such as is recorded in Luke chapter 19, verses 45 through 48. It's important that when we say that we seek to preach Christ, that the Christ that we're proclaiming is the true Christ. It's important that we clarify who Jesus is, that we wholeheartedly embrace and proclaim Christ in all of his glory. Again, one cannot improve upon the Christ of Scripture. Jesus is the sinless Savior. He is the unblemished Lamb of God. And so with that in mind, we are going to consider today's exposition of John 8, 37 to 47. And the title of this message is The Devil's Children and the True Family of God. And it's my prayer that as you listen to this sermon, that you will ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to show you whether you are a redeemed child of the promise or whether you are a spiritual child of darkness. That you will ask God to take up a spiritual inventory of your own heart and to reveal who you actually are. Those that Jesus is speaking to here would have assumed that they were children of the promise. The audience that Jesus is addressing here have many similarities with most Americans that we would speak to of Jesus and the gospel today as well. The uber religious leaders and many followers of Pharisaic Judaism assume that the physical offspring of Abraham are two things. They are both safe and free. The same way many Americans today believe that they're going to heaven. You ask them, are you on the broad road that leads to destruction, or are you on the narrow road that leads to heaven? Are you a child of God, or are you a child of darkness? Are you safe, or are you in danger? Are you free, or are you a slave of sin? They are fully confident, those that Jesus is speaking to here, those caught up in Pharisaic Judaism, that they have nothing to fear. That they will be at the front of the victory parade when the Messiah brings about his everlasting kingdom. I find that when I talk to most people in America, that they don't see, they don't sense this need that they have of this Jesus. They view themselves as overall being a good person. Many people believe that if their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, that in the final rendering of the final verdict by the final judge, that everything will be okay. And so with that in mind, let's look at the passage of Scripture together. We'll begin reading in verse 34. Are you a redeemed child of the promise, or are you a spiritual child of the devil? Jesus says in John 8:34, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." This is in response to their indignation. How dare you suggest that we need liberation? We are free. Jesus says to people who presume that they are spiritually free, "Truly, truly," verse 34, "I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Now again, they presume that they are spiritually fine. That when it comes to the matter of salvation, that when it comes to the matter of heaven and hell, that they have nothing to worry about. They aren't saying that this isn't a gospel message that should be proclaimed to anyone. They were just saying that that gospel message doesn't apply to us. We're safe and we're free. You've forgotten your audience. You've forgotten who you're speaking to, Jesus. And Jesus says, "No, I'm not mistaken. I understand who it is that I'm addressing." Verse 37, "I know that you are Abraham's offspring. Yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you've heard from your father." My Father, speaking of God, is not your father. Today, you know, people typically present some form of ecumenical theology. You know, that Christians, unbelieving Jews, Jews that don't embrace Jesus as Savior, Messiah, and Muslims, you know, we all have the same God. We all worship the same God. Yeah, we have some differences amongst these three major world religions, but we have far more in common than not. That's a message that would maybe make one qualify to present a prayer at a presidential inauguration. This unifying message. And I'm all for unifying people, but not unifying people in lies. Unity in falsehood is a unity of the devil. Jesus says, "I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, therefore you also do the things which you've heard from your Father." We don't have the same Father. What are you talking about? They understand the point that Jesus is trying to make. They're already upset, and now they're steaming mad. They answered and said to Jesus, "Abraham is our father." We're children of the promise. We are safe and free. They double down. They triple down. Jesus said to them, verse 39, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, If God were your father, most people would say, God's my father. Most Americans would say, yep, I'm safe, I'm free, I have nothing to worry about. Take your message to the prisons where people are physically incarcerated, having done serious crimes. But overall, I'm a good person. I have nothing to worry about. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, in other words, if God were your true father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So we come back to the central question then. Are you a child of promise or are you a spiritual child of darkness? How does one determine this all-important question? Understand this. It is not determined by one's physical bloodline. Even if you're Jewish, even if you're 100% full-fledged a physical descendant of Abraham. Paul says this very thing. He makes this same point in the book of Romans, where he reminds his audience that, listen, just because you are born with this wonderful privilege to the Jewish people, they have many advantages. Back then, they weren't talking about white privilege, they were talking about Jewish privilege. It was a real thing. It was something that one could easily become proud about rather than be grateful for. It's something that somebody could actually think that just by virtue of the fact that they were born as true Jews, that when the Messiah came and established his kingdom, that he would surely include them in the promised plan of God. But Paul said, the point that Jesus is making here, that not all Israel is Israel. He says that you have to have a circumcision of the heart. He makes this point in Philippians chapter 3. He makes this point in Romans chapter 2, verses 17 to 29. He makes this point in Romans 9, 6 to 33. Some people think, well, America... The world says America is a Christian nation. So they would have thought, because I'm a Jew, I'm safe and free. Many people today think, because I'm born in a Christian country with religious parents, that I'm spiritually okay. Determining whether or not we are a child of promise or a child of the darkness, we need to realize that it is not determined by physical bloodlines. Secondly, we see here that Jesus says this, whether you're a legitimate child of the promise is not determined by how religious you are. Some people would say, well, I'm not only, born in a Christian nation, but I don't eat certain food certain days of the week. I do this and I don't do that, and I go there and I do this for my neighbor. Romans 3:20, for no one will be justified in God's sight by works of the law. No one is saved by their own deeds. Why? Because the law's standard is perfection. James 2:10 says, to the one who keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, they are what? They're guilty of all. Romans 3:20, no one will be justified in God's sight by works of the law, for the law merely brings an awareness of sin. The law simply shows us that we are incapable of earning our own salvation by living a pure and blameless life. So, Jesus here exposes the fact that people are not safe and free by virtue of their physical bloodlines. They are not safe and free by virtue of how religious they are. Then how is one born again? How is one saved? This brings us then to Jesus' first major sermon heading. Number one, are you a true child of the promise? Should you fear death and the life thereafter? Number one, Jesus says this, a true child of the promise imitates Father Abraham's life of faith and obedience. Number one, a true child of the promise imitates Father Abraham's life of faith and obedience. This is verses 37 through 40. Let's look at the text now as we continue this marvelous instruction by our Lord. Jesus says, verse 37, I know who you are. I understand your family tree. I know the unique privileges and blessings that you have. Yet you are resting in something that is no guarantee of final salvation. One of the most challenging, difficult, and necessary parts of biblical evangelism is identifying the barriers that exist between someone and Christ. From true faith and true repentance. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's physical offspring, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Verse 31, you're not a true disciple. You're not a true believer. Your real father actually isn't God. Verse 38, I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. I speak my father, you do your father. I'm communicating the message that he wants shared. You're doing the things, in most cases, unknowingly, that your father wants you to do. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, how dare you? How dare you? This is Who's Your Daddy remix. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Verse 41, they said, we're not the ones born of fornication. You want to go there? You want to hit below the belt? The virgin-born son. We have one father, even God. This is what an Orthodox Jew would tell you today. This is what a practicing Muslim would say to you as well. We have one father, even God. How do we know? How do you know whether you're a child of God or you're a child of a spiritual child of the devil? Jesus said to them, verse 39, here it is. If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has only told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. The true child of the promise, number one, imitates Father Abraham's life of faith and obedience. How is Abram justified in the sight of a holy God? Abraham was a man of faith. He was an obedient servant of the Lord, not perfect, but faithful. You say, well, Abraham was justified as a combination of his own faith in God and his works. The things that he did, the things that he didn't do, he was a good person. Genesis 15, verse 6 says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. A perfectly holy God justified Abraham, a sinner, by grace alone, through faith alone. The way of salvation has only ever been one way. We're not justified by faith and works. We're justified by the grace alone through faith alone. And this is what was true of the father of faith, Abraham, Genesis 15, 6. But many people claim the name but don't walk the walk. That wasn't true of Abraham. The evidence of Abraham's faith was seen in his works of obedience. And this is how, by the way, one harmonizes the message of James with the message of Paul and Jesus. You say, well, the Bible in some places seems to teach one message, and then in other places seems to teach another message. How do these messages harmonize with one another? You know, James puts a huge emphasis on how you live your life. James says, you know, faith without works is useless. Jesus here and Paul in Romans and Galatians talks about faith alone, faith alone, faith alone. Salvation is a free gift. And so Jesus provides clarity. Abraham was justified by faith alone. He believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, Genesis 15, 6. But Abraham's faith was proven to be true and genuine by the way in which he lived his everyday life. The fruit of Abraham's faith was seen in his life of obedience. In Genesis 12, God commanded Abraham, leave behind your familiar stomping grounds and go to the place that I will show you, a place that I am giving to you. And by faith, Abraham went. Even more amazing, in Genesis 22, God told Abraham to take his beloved son, the son of promise, Isaac, and to offer him up as a sacrifice. Again, Abraham trusted God and was willing to obey. You say that you're children of the promise, that Abraham is your true father, then trust and obey. Walk by faith and not by sight. Prove the genuineness of your faith in God, your belief in his promises, through the obedience of faith. Jesus is saying your life doesn't match your profession. Again, this is the way in which 1 John and James harmonizes with the message of Paul in the book of Romans and Galatians. 31, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, you can't evangelize somebody who already thinks that they're saved. People have no need of a spiritual liberator if they think they're already free. They don't need emancipation if they think they're already free. So Jesus is very courageously seeking to expose the self-righteousness that they possess and the false assurance of salvation that they have. Look at verse 31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, most Americans believe that they are saved, that they have nothing to fear when it comes to death and eternity. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had, quote, believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. People who are religious generally have strong confidence that they are children of God. Even people who are not religious often are so proud and self-righteous that they too assume and presume this reality. But according to Jesus, you are either a child of God or you remain the devil's child. I know that you are Abraham's physical offspring, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. True Christians embrace the message of Christ. True believers embrace Jesus for who he truly is. Jesus says, verse 38, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, therefore you also do the things which you have heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has only told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. Verse 41, you're actually doing the deeds of your father. If you want to see the kind of response that religious people will have to this gospel and to this Jesus, all you need to do is preach this gospel and this Jesus to religious unbelievers. The more gospel truth that Jesus reveals, the more upset his audience grows. Most people would assume that if you're evangelizing someone and you can begin to tell that they're growing increasingly agitated, frustrated, and upset, most people at that point will be like, all right, now is the time to tone it down or change the subject. That isn't how Jesus carries out this conversation with this self-righteous crowd. We think about who Jesus is speaking to, where he is, and the amount of faith that it would take for him to continue to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The closest parallel that I can think of the precarious situation that Jesus would have been in would be this. Imagine that you would go to the most holy place of Islam. Imagine going to Mecca or Medina. Imagine going to Mecca or Medina and telling faithful Muslims that Muhammad is a false prophet, and that they are actually the devil's spiritual children, that all of their fervor and zeal and external piety is a sham, that it's worthless, that they are not going to paradise, even if they die as martyrs. Apart from divine intervention, one wouldn't even be able to make it to a place of execution because of the rage and the fury that would be experienced. And yet here is Jesus, understanding that they're growing increasingly angry with him, and yet he continues to press. Here we have again the holy boldness and calm courage of the Messiah Jesus, second to none. We sometimes hold back from preaching the full gospel, preaching for a verdict, when somebody just gives us a dirty look. So we have much to learn from Jesus as believers. This brings us then to our second key heading. True children of Abraham are seen, and are the evidence that one actually belongs to the line of promise by virtue of their faith and obedience. Now Jesus will turn his attention to say, here are five characteristics. Number two, five characteristics of the devil's spiritual children. Do you embrace the teachings of Jesus, the gospel he proclaimed? Does your life give evidence that your profession of faith is genuine? You say, I'm not sure. Okay, well then, now Jesus will help bring clarity by looking at the other side of this coin. The second major heading is the devil's spiritual children are marked by five characteristics. Number one, the devil's children have a lack of love for Jesus. The devil's children have a lack of love for Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Verse 42. They say, we're children of the promise, children of Abraham. We're not illegitimate children. That likely is a backhand slap at Jesus. The rumors that would have circulated, the fact that Mary and Joseph had not come together and that Jesus was miraculously born. You want to talk about illegitimate children? Fornication, Jesus? It's not us. That's you. We're not only confident that we're in line to inherit the covenant promises of God, we're firmly convinced that our Father is God. Jesus says, no, your father isn't God, your father is the devil. And this is seen, number one, in the lack of love you have for me, the eternal Son of God. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. This is so simple. How do you know if you're a genuine believer, that you're a true disciple, that you're a child of the promise, that you're a child of God? In your heart of hearts, by the grace of God, you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, your true father, if you were a genuine son of God, a daughter of God, you would love me. Well, what does Jesus have to do with God the Father? For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. In other words, if you truly know and love God the Father, you will love and embrace the object of God's everlasting love. God has always loved and will always love the Son of his everlasting love. He loves him with a perfect, eternal, and holy love. It is the object of his highest affection. You cannot love God the Father if you do not love the one whom the Father loves supremely. If you do not love Jesus, you do not love God. This is why 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. A true child of the promise loves Jesus with an undying love. This is how the wonderful book of Ephesians ends, with an incorruptible love. Our love isn't perfect, but our love is genuine. Obviously, we only love Jesus because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19, but we do love him and long to love him more. Are you a child of the promise, or are you a child of darkness? Are you a child of God, or are you a child of the devil? You're not born a child of God. You're not born a child of the promise. It's not through religion. It's not through physical bloodlines. It is only in and through the Savior, Jesus Christ, that one becomes a child of God. And we read that passage in John chapter 1. There's a second characteristic. The devil's children do not understand the word of Christ. If you read the Bible and you don't understand the message, the spiritual message of the most basic truths of the gospel, if you listen to the same sermons that everybody else listens to and you don't understand the main points, you need to do some soul searching because, number two, Jesus says, the second characteristic of a spiritual child of darkness is this: the devil's children do not understand the word of Christ. Verse 43. I'm not speaking French. I'm not speaking Greek. This is in plain English. How do you not understand what I'm saying to you? Jesus says, why do you not understand what I am saying? And then he answers the question. It's because you cannot hear my word. When someone tells you that they do not understand the biblical gospel that is routinely preached from this pulpit, that is very concerning. And again, please do the work of evangelism. It's a blessed privilege and responsibility, one of the chief tasks that God has left us behind to do. You know what I'm talking about, those of you who faithfully do evangelism. It's sometimes like you're talking to somebody and you're like, you know, by the grace of God, I was simple and clear in my presentation, and they just kept looking at me like, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense to me. Every unbeliever has a veil over the eyes of their heart. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of the promise? Have you been adopted into the family? Those of us non-Jews who believe, the answer is yes. The devil's children do not understand the word of Christ. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Oh, here's why. It's because you cannot hear. Oh, you hear, but you don't hear. You see, but you don't see. Moving on, number three. The devil's children, third characteristic, unknowingly carry out Satan's plans. Oh, that we would say, well, that's Al-Qaeda and ISIS. You know, radical apocalyptic Islam. Well, that they are carrying out the devil's plan, thinking that they're earning their special place in paradise. But he's not talking to Muslim terrorists here. He's talking to self-righteous, Pharisaic Pharisees and Jews. The devil's children unknowingly carry out Satan's plans. Where are you getting that from? Verse 41. You're doing the deeds of your father. Verse 44. I'll tell you who your daddy is. It's not Abraham. It's not God. You're unknowingly a pawn of Satan. You are of your father, verse 44, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever Satan speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar. The father of lies. Unbelievers may not realize that they are carrying out the purposes of Satan, but self-deception and blindness go hand in hand. For example, the LGBTQ and Planned Parenthood movement involve many who convince themselves that they are actually promoting good things. They think that what they're doing is good and just and is going to move us towards a utopia. The Mormons wrongly believe that they are the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Jehovah Witnesses believe that they are the true and faithful witnesses of Jehovah God. These people think and presume that they are honoring God with what they do, with how they live, with the values that they have. This shouldn't surprise us. When we're doing evangelism, when we're praying for the lost, we should remember this passage. Number three, the devil's children unknowingly carry out Satan's plans. This brings us to verse 45, number four, a fourth characteristic. Are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? Are you a child of the promise or are you a child of the darkness? Number four, the devil's children embrace damning falsehoods. Number four, the devil's children embrace damning falsehoods. Verse 45, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. The devil's a liar. He lies because by nature he's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the master of deception. He promotes half-truths as the true truths. He promotes all these ways, telling people that this is the way to God, this is the way to heaven, this is the way to living a fulfilled life. I speak the truth. And that's why you don't believe me. Because your father is the father of lies. He's pulled the wool over your eyes. He's placed a veil over the eyes of your heart. Jesus reminds us here that it is only the truth, it is only the truth, the gospel truth that can set people free from a world of lies, damning falsehoods, and spiritual darkness. You say, what's our job? Our job isn't to be Jesus. There's only one Savior. There's only one eternal Son of God. Our job is to point people to Jesus and to preach the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. To be dispensers of the truth. To tell people what they need to hear, even when they don't think they need to hear it. To share with people what they need to hear, even when they get angry at us for proclaiming the truth. People realize that if you tone down the truth or tell people what they want to hear, that then you can have close relations with them. But what relationship is more important than the image bearer of God's relationship with the one who is creator and judge? The devil's children embrace damning falsehoods. Give them a half-truth or a lie, they'll embrace it. Speak the truth, verse 45, it's because I speak the truth that you don't believe me. This brings us then to verses 46 and 47, number five. Fifth characteristic, are you a child of God or a child of the devil? Are you a child of the promise or are you a child of darkness? The devil's spiritual children reject the Word incarnate and the infallible Word of God. Number five, the devil's spiritual children reject the Word incarnate, Jesus, and the infallible Word of God. Verses 46 to 47. Which of you convicts me of sin? Who do you think you are, Jesus? Well, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the eternal Son of God, the Savior King, sent from heaven on a rescue mission, devised by in the councils of the Godhead, three in one in eternity past. Who do you think you are, Jesus, pointing the finger at me? Jesus says, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? Pure, innocent, holy, the truth incarnate. How do you know whether somebody is a true disciple, a genuine believer? Verse 47, he who is of God hears the word of God. They hear, they understand, they embrace, and they obey by the grace of God for the glory of God. He who is of God, he who is a real Christian, a genuine believer, hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. Somebody can live a life on the outside that looks moral, upright, clean, but if they reject Jesus, if they reject the Word of God, the central message of the Word of God is the good news message, the gospel, this is evidence of the fact that they are children of darkness, that they are lost, that Satan is actually their father, not God. Everyone look up here for a moment. Let me just summarize it with these two words. The father of lies does not ultimately care what someone believes. He doesn't care what someone believes so long as it's not the true gospel. He does not really care who someone follows so long as it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Jesus does here is he separates the entire human race into two spiritual camps. You are either by God's grace a spiritual child of the promise, adopted sons and daughters of God, and then through the Savior Jesus Christ, or you are the devil's child, a pawn of darkness, a slave of sin, and an enemy of the truth. So the question of the hour is the question of the hour. Who are you? Do you have a right assessment? How can one know? Well, one can know by considering their life against the backdrop of the clear teaching of Jesus. What's the context? Some people were claiming that they believed in Jesus, but Jesus didn't have faith in their faith. Not faith in faith of those who had bogus faith in him. Verse 31, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. How do I know if I am truly safe and free? How does one discern if their profession of faith is genuine? In your heart of hearts, with the new heart that God has given you, believer, you know that you love the Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Verse 42. You know that you are a child of the promise, a spiritual child of God, because by the grace of God, you hear the word of God and you abide in his word. Not perfectly, but the direction of your life is consistent. The fruit of your faith is obvious. It is these things that confirms that our adoption papers are real. There is no paternity test that one can take, but there is a biblical test that Jesus provides that is 100% accurate. As natural-born sinners, the Son of God came, lived a perfect life, bore our sins on his shoulders, died and was raised to life on the third day so that all who believe in him could become and could be called children of the Most High God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly acknowledge that it is only through your Son that we can be called children of the promise, joint heirs of Christ. We praise you and thank you for rescuing us from the domain of darkness and for setting us free. By faith, we echo the glories of 1 John 3. See how great a love the Father has given to us that we would be called children of God, and so we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been manifested as yet what we shall be. We know that when he is manifested, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Father, we have this hope fixed on him, and this purifies us. This incentivizes and encourages us to pursue holiness in the sinful world. We know that Jesus was manifested in order to take away our sins, and that in him there is no sin. Holy Spirit, help us to use this blessed gospel freedom to advance your gospel cause near and far. Behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called sons of the Most High God. We ask these things in your glorious name, and all God's people said, amen.